Well, I just preached a message on the other at the other church service, on the early church service. Now, that's something. Preaching a message at the church service about the early church service. And that was a very interesting message. But people in the early church participated in the church service, not just in the singing of hymns, but in sharing with one another. And when they did that, is very interesting. It's a very miraculous spiritual kind of thing. One way they did that was through the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and having those tongues interpreted. It's a foreign language, and then having the language interpreted, and out of that interpretation would come something that would build up the body of Christ. But if nobody knew how to do that, nobody had the gift of interpretation, then they were supposed to be quiet and pray by themselves. And the reason it says that, and the passage that Terry read out of that passage, out of that scripture, was that they were able to pray alone in that heavenly language, or that special kind of language, and it would build up their own spirit. It would strengthen themselves because they were praying to the Lord directly, without sort of like passing through their minds. It says in that passage, their mind is unfruitful. Well, today most Christians don't pray. Some do, but there's many. For many centuries, the Orthodox monks wanted to do something very similar. It wasn't speaking in tongues, but it accomplished somewhat of the same task, and that's what I want to talk about today. It's called the Jesus Prayer, or it was called many times the Prayer of the Heart. The Prayer of the Heart. Which any believer could learn. Didn't have to speak in tongues or anything like that. They could learn this prayer. They could learn how to do it. So, before I describe it, I want to read a passage that the early monks in the Orthodox Church used to start that prayer. It's the passage, which one of the passages, and I'm going to choose the passage in Luke that describes this incident. As Jesus approached Jericho, this is Luke 18:35-43, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now that's a beautiful story. That's a wonderful story. Well, the monks took that prayer that man prayed, and instead of saying, Jesus, Son of David, they used the New Testament phrase, Lord Jesus Christ, and then they gave that petition, Have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Now I want to explain how this prayer works a little bit like speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. Now when a person prays in tongues, it bypasses their mind. They don't know exactly, they don't understand what exactly they are saying. So that human frailty and human error are not in the way when a person is praying in tongues. And this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, a little bit before the passage that Terry read. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. My mind is not understanding what's going on. But I'm with my spirit. And that's a different concept. It bypasses the mind. Now, I have to say that as humans, we try to figure things out. And when we pray with our minds, we try to figure out if the prayer that we're praying is logical, and we think, now what is the solution to my problem? I need to think about the solution, and if I think of it, then I will pray to God and ask Him to give me that answer. That may not be the solution to the problem. But we pray with our mind sometimes, and maybe God doesn't answer those prayers. But if we pray with our spirit, then we'll pray the prayer and bypass the mind, then we might get our prayer request answered, because it might be in line with God's will to answer the right answer, not what our mind thought of to be the right answer. Lord, if that guy over there will just behave himself, then I'll be all right too spiritually. Well, that may not be the right prayer request. It may be logical, that guy will be bothering me, then I'll be able to live the Christian life peacefully. Well, the Lord might say, I want to give you the strength to forgive him and to tolerate him and to love him. Oh, that's a hard one. But that might be the answer. So see, there's all kinds of things that we could pray for using our minds. But what we do need to do is to learn to use our spirits. Learn to use our spirits to pray. Now, the prayer that the early church monks prayed, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, it has a central part of the prayer is have mercy on me. That's the simple part, the central part and the simple part of the prayer. Have mercy on me. But that's an interesting prayer request. That prayer request is very general. It's not addressing anything specific. It's very, very general, and it covers so much territory that the mind can't take it all in. If you say, have mercy on me, that can cover a wide array of things in your life. It can cover everything. We're going to talk more about how much it does cover. But it can bypass the mind. The mind says, well, what are you praying about, though? What? About what? Mercy about what? You see, that's what the mind wants to do. It wants to have all the answers. But that prayer doesn't give all the answers. That prayer bypasses our logical process and just goes to the direct thing that's needful. Mercy. God's mercy. I want God's mercy. Have mercy on me. Now, that's very, very big. The mind sort of has to take a back seat and let the Spirit communicate through that prayer, that phrase, have mercy on me, to God. And God, in His infinite wisdom, can connect the request for mercy and the specific answer that really meets our need. Our mind is totally out of the way. We won't make a mistake there when we pray that prayer. We'll never make a mistake, ever. And our mind just steps back and says, okay, I can't think about this. I don't know what's going on. I'm just going to let my spirit pray, and then I'll know it's okay. So the mind just steps back and does it. That's why when I was reading about some Orthodox monks who had learned from some Pentecostal believers that speaking in tongues was a way of a prayer language that they could pray to God without, and it would bypass their minds, and they would know that they're praying from their spirit. And the Orthodox monk said, whoa, that's exactly what we have been learning for centuries to do through the Jesus Prayer. To try to not let our mind get in the way, but just to pray with our spirit. And if you have the gift of tongues, of course, you can pray in that prayer language. But my experience has been that most Christians don't pray in tongues. They pray with their minds. And this is a way that you can sort of have the benefits of praying in tongues if you don't have the gift of tongues. Sometimes I have prayed in tongues. I actually have. But I have to say that the Jesus Prayer has been very meaningful to me, and it's going to be meaningful to you if you learn how to use it. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Anyone can learn that. Anyone can learn it. Now, what makes the Jesus Prayer an effective way of praying? First of all, it's very simple. It's very simple. It's only 7 words long. 7 words, and they're very familiar words in the Christian life. I was just doing a search on my computer to see how many times have mercy on me or have mercy was was asked in the Bible. Now, sometimes it was asked to God, and sometimes it was asked to a governor or king, somebody in power, to have mercy. So it's very familiar, 155 times in the Bible, that phrase, "have mercy on me," is listed. And that's something that is very, very familiar. But there's another thing that's very, very, makes it very simple. We say the creed, and we can study doctrine. We repeat the creed. It's a long creed. We have it printed out when we have it at a church service. So we say the creed, and sometimes we say the short one called the Apostles' Creed, and sometimes we say the long one called the Nicene Creed. We can say the creed, we can study Bible doctrine and get a book and read 100 pages on some doctrine, but the main focus of our faith is not the creed, and it's not our doctrine. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that we get the creed, and from that we get doctrine, but He is central. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first three words of the prayer. The first three words of the prayer are the most important things in the Christian life. And then, this "have mercy on me" is so common throughout the Bible that we've seen it again and again. It's a prayer that's prayed again and again in Scripture. So that's also very familiar. But secondly, it's a very thorough prayer. It's an effective prayer because it's simple, but it's also very thorough. And how I want to say that is because it appeals to the highest authority. It appeals to the highest authority, and it covers every kind of situation that could possibly exist. Now that's pretty thorough. It appeals to the highest authority, and it covers every situation that could possibly exist. Let's look at each of these words. Now the first three words are a Trinitarian invocation. What does that mean? Okay? It, in some way, it talks about the Trinity. It talks about the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In some way it does that, but it's an invocation. It calls upon the Trinity. It calls upon the Godhead. It calls upon God. And it does it this way, Lord Jesus Christ. The first word, Lord. Now, God the Father, in Him resides all authority, but all authority He has given to His Son, Jesus. And we see that in the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, or the Gospel of Matthew, 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, one thing He did not say, "All authority within the Godhead is given to me." He didn't say that. He said, "All authority in creation, in the spirit creation of heavenly realm, and in the earthly creation, or the cosmos. All authority in the entire universe of creation, spiritual and physical, has been given to Jesus Christ." All of it. Wow. We've talked a lot about that in the past, but that's another thing. We're coming to this one with in whom all authority, all power has been given to me. In some translations it says power instead of authority. But all authority has been given to me. So we come to Christ. That authority resides in the Father and given to the Son. So the Godhead authority is still there intact. Lord Jesus, the name Jesus. God the Son became Jesus the man. God became flesh, incarnation. The Son of God became the Son of Man, not just to relate to us in a human way, not to be humanly related, but to bring salvation to us personally. That's the name Jesus means. It means Jehovah saves, Jehovah heals, Jehovah delivers. It means all of those things. It means Jehovah is salvation. And the name Jesus refers to His earthly name. He relates to us because He became one of us. And He is a human being now in heaven, in the Trinity. He's gone back into the Trinity with our humanity. That's an amazing thing. But then there's one more thing. What about the Holy Spirit? Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord the King, the Father's authority. Jesus, the incarnate Son, the man. Jesus the man, the Son of Man. And Christ, the Anointed One. That anointing happens through God the Spirit. That anointing came upon Jesus as a man and turned him into the Anointed One, the Christ, the Messiah. Those are all the same words. The one that everybody was hoping in. The hope of all creation resides and is wrapped up in the human ambassador who has this Trinitarian Godhead manifestation, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you, all of creation, is hoping for. Now, that's our appeal. That's our invocation to the Godhead through Christ. The next four words is the general petition. First of all, we invoke the presence of Lord Jesus Christ, and then we ask a petition of Him, a request. Have mercy. Have mercy. That request asks God to graciously intervene with His help in our condition of need, in our state of need, whatever it is. Let me say that again. It asks God's gracious help in our condition of need, whatever that is. Whether it's a physical need, whether it's a spiritual need, whether it's an emotional need, whether it's a locational need, whether it's a relational, an intellectual need, all kinds of needs that there could be, it requests His help. That's why I said, this general, non-specific prayer specifically addresses everything. It is so gigantic. And then it says, have mercy on me. Well, that's what we usually think about first. But that's not where God wants us to quit. God wants us to start by praying this prayer, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. But as God meets our needs, we should be asking that same mercy on others. On our friends. On our family. On our loved ones, you know. On our neighbors. On the people that are strangers that we meet. Maybe even on our enemies. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on my enemy. Now that sounds like Jesus would pray something like that. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He prays those kinds of prayers. And the reason that the monks called the Jesus prayer the prayer of the heart was because they wanted to try to learn it by heart and let their heart pray that prayer, bypassing their mind, but praying it all the time, even in their dreams. In their sleep, praying that prayer. And that's a task that these monks took on. It was repeated again and again, like breathing out and breathing in. They would say, Lord Jesus Christ, calling outward, have mercy on me, breathing inward. It became as close to them as their very breath, praying it up, in repetition, inward and outward. Inward and outward, a flow that went on. They tried to make it the prayer of their heart, like their own heartbeat. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. When I learned this, about this, Rosemary and I actually learned this by reading a book called The Way of the Pilgrim. And you can find it somewhere. It's about a Russian... peasant, vagabond in a way, who was trying to find out how to pray without ceasing. How to learn how to pray without ceasing. And he got with some of these Orthodox monks, and they said, well, I want you to pray this prayer 1,000 times. So they gave him a rosary, and he prayed through this prayer 1,000 times. He said, well, now what? I want you to pray 10,000. So he did it all day long. Until He said the prayer began to descend into his heart. And so he was praying it all the time, no matter what happened. Now, these were the monks, and I don't know if any of us could do that. But I want to say my goal is to get us, in a sense, to pray without ceasing, to always bring everything to God. To say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, or Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on him, or have mercy on her, have mercy on my wife, have mercy on my neighbor. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Praying that prayer until it becomes the prayer of your heart. Praying that prayer until you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are praying the most effective thing that could ever be prayed. Now, I'm not saying for us not to pray with our minds. You know, some people may come to us and say, I have this specific request. But their requesting may not be exactly what God knows will meet their need. Wouldn't it be nice to say, yes, I will pray. And then turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know really if that's what they need. But Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on my friend. And you know, when you have committed your friend in that way, to that mercy, that inexhaustible authority, that inexhaustible grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've done the most effective prayer you can possibly do. Now, I want to say one more thing, and then we're going to close, and that is this. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me is a very simple prayer. But you better write it down. I had a lady in the hospital, and I wrote that prayer for her. And they moved her from a room, and I had it written because she was having trouble remembering it. So I had it written for her on the wall. And so what happened was that they moved her to another room, and they didn't take the prayer. And she became agitated. And she said, oh, they've taken my prayer away. They've taken my prayer away. So I came in and I gave her the prayer again. But here's something. What if I forget the prayer? I want you to take the most important part of the prayer and I want you to remember it. And this, it's not Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It's not have mercy. It's this. Jesus. Jesus. If you can remember that, then you found the heart of the Jesus prayer. It's Jesus. Jesus. Now, why do I say that? Do I have any biblical reason for saying that? Yes, I do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be delivered, will be healed, will be saved, will be made whole. Whosoever, that's what that passage says. That's what the word sozo in the Greek means. Healing, wholeness, deliverance, salvation. So when you call upon the name of Jesus, you've called upon the name of Jesus, you've prayed the essence of the Jesus prayer, but I really believe that the Jesus prayer, if you'll remember it, maybe write it down so you'll always remember it, that's going to help you a great deal in your life, and in every situation that you can possibly face. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for these monks doing such good work in taking this passage of Scripture and making a prayer out of it way, way back in the early 300s, and then praying this prayer down through the centuries and passing it along to us today. I pray, Father God, that we will remember the Jesus prayer in every situation. And that, Lord, we will call upon you and realize that we are calling upon the authority within the Holy Trinity. And that we are asking for every situation that could possibly exist to be helped by your grace and intervention. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.